Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. And men, as always, I'd like to begin by thanking you for checking out today's show. And when you get the opportunity, make sure you visit the website, thepursuitofmanliness.com. You can find this podcast episode, the whole catalog of previous episodes. You can learn more about the Pursuit of Manliness. You can see what's available in the gear store. You can see that tribe registration is currently open. You can learn about our men's retreat in the fall. You can sign up for the Framework Field Notes newsletter that goes out every week. Just a lot there to get you connected and acclimated to the pursuit of manliness. But I want to remind you, the Wednesday podcast is sponsored by Loader Road Goods out of Coshocton, Ohio. Now, I want to show you this. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening, you're just going to have to take my word for it. I got this from Loader Road Goods a while back. It is an everyday carry dump tray. I didn't even know I needed one of these until I got one. And I put all my belongings every day into this tray, and my wife loves it. It doesn't clutter the dresser, doesn't clutter the counters or anything like that. Every morning I get up, I get my cross, I get my wallet, my pens, my glasses, whatever is in here, I just get it, put it on myself, and get on throughout the day. Now, Chris says this is made out of thick water, buffalo leather. How you get that in Coshocton, Ohio, I don't know, but he does. It is 7 inches by 8.5 inches. Let me tell you, this will be a great gift. If you got a young man who's graduating and going off to college, or you got a buddy of yours that's getting ready to get married, and you want to give him a unique gift, check it out, loaderroadgoods.com. If you put in the discount code AQUIETLIFE, all capital letters, one word, you'll save 15% off your order. Men, it's time for today's podcast episode. When I was like in fourth or fifth grade, my school had this thing called safety patrol, or maybe you might have called it crossing guards. And it was basically these kids, you had to be in a specific grade, and I think you had to have some training, and a head that would fit inside of the plastic orange helmet they gave you. I don't know if debris was going to be flying from cars passing by, but they had this like strap that went over your it was like a seatbelt without a car. And so it went over your chest. I might have had a badge, went around your waist. And these were like the kids that told you when to walk. And if you cut the corner, so you stepped on a grass, they'd make you go back and forth 3 times. That was like your safety patrol tax you had to pay before you could move on. And I never got to do it. I never got to be safety town or safety patrol or crossing guard or whatever these things are called. Never got to do it. It just didn't work with our schedule. But one day I did. Now, I think part of the reason why I didn't get to be safety patrol guy was I think you had to have a certain type of grades. So I was out. But one day, these smart kids who kept us safe all must have went somewhere together and left us vulnerable, because they picked a handful of us, myself included, to be safety patrol for the day. Just the afternoon. Just the going home traffic. That's what we were responsible for. Now, mind you, I had no training. I was a pickup drop-off kid, so I don't even know what these guys did. I don't know, but I just knew, like, when the light turned green, let them walk. I tried to enforce the safety guard tax. That didn't work. And it was chaos. And I thought, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. And I learned in that moment, authority is not all that it's cracked up to be. Okay? Now, as men, we have this weird relationship with authority. We'd like to be in authority, but not necessarily be responsible. I want to be in charge. I want to maybe determine, dictate, drive where I think we're going, but I don't necessarily want to be responsible for any of the consequences that may come from that. For some reason, St. Vincent's Elementary School deemed it appropriate that this guy was qualified with about 36 seconds of training to get all the kids across the street where they need to go. To my knowledge, nobody was hurt or injured that day except for my pride and ego. We like authority. We don't necessarily like the responsibility that comes with it. And I think this is something that goes far beyond fourth grade. I think this is something that goes with us as long as we're on this planet. We get the idea that if I could just sit at that table, if I could just have keys to that door, if I could just be invited to that meeting,
you know, then I've made it. Then I'm doing something. And then you'll come to find out when you get to that place, if you get there, it's not always all that it was cracked up to be. You say, okay, that I don't like that. I need to go find a different table. I need to give those keys back so maybe I can have keys for something over here. And I think we have this weird tension the whole time we're on this planet with authority. And I think it goes to our relationship with our Creator. If we understand, like Israel failed to do, God is our King. He is where we look. He is the one that has set us apart. He is the one that has, you know, determined our days. He's the one that tells us what is good for life and what is bad for death. And we keep looking over the fence going, I know, but I'm starting to take some interest in what they're doing over there. I just think we have this continual tension with authority. This is part of the problem with men when it comes to church. You look at the guy up front and you say, I don't want some guy, some fallible guy, regular guy telling me what to do. I understand that. And listen, if y'all don't know, I'm one of those guys. Like, that's what I do. I stand up front every weekend and I preach. I preach out of the word and I implore people, let's move on this. I try to stir them to a place of remembrance and action. And I have to be honest, there's a lot of weekends where I'm like, what was the point of that? This last weekend, I'm teaching and there's a moment where I'm talking and I can remember holding my hand and thinking and looking out at some people and I thought, we might as well wrap this up because I could tell by the look on their faces, it's not getting through. Now, maybe that's the Spirit telling me, Jared, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to do your thing. Let me do my thing. But I just don't miss the point. I think we struggle with authority the whole time we're here on this planet. If someone is in charge of us, we immediately begin to question different aspects of their character, behavior, their intentions. We make assumptions. Before long, we become kind of our own God. We become our own authority in our own life. Well, Jesus, when he's on the planet, walking around, had a lot of questions about authority, right? There were scribes, Pharisees. By what authority do you do these things? Tell me by what authority. And Jesus said, I'll ask you this question. We don't want to do that. They wanted to be the people in authority. They wanted to be the people challenging Jesus. Well, I love the story in Luke 19, Jesus and Zacchaeus. As Jesus entered Jericho, was passing through. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. That's another word for authority. Chief tax collector. Now, we're not 100% sure what all that job status and responsibility entailed, but we know he did a good job of pillaging the people for taxes. And he was rich. And we often think in our mind, if someone's rich, they must be successful. They must be someone in a position of authority. They must have some backers. They got some people around them. Sometimes he was seeking to see who Jesus was. He heard about Jesus. I'm going to find out more about this guy. But on account of the crowd, this massive crowd was there, he could not because he was small in stature. So basically he comes up, probably left the office a little late from, you know, shaking people down for more taxes. If a whole crowd's showing up, he said, this is a money-making opportunity. He gets up there and it's just a wall of humans and he can't even see anywhere near the road. Now, you think he could kind of leverage his clout to get to the front. And the people are like, no, we're not budging. I think Luke takes a little dig at him here that he was small in stature. He kind of like a little short man complex here, right? But he's not just physically small. He's spiritually small. Nowhere where he needs to be. So he ran. I underline ran in my Bible because people don't run. The only other, you know, running we get in the New Testament would be the running. Well, I shouldn't say the only one, but the one that's used as a teaching tool is the prodigal son. You see running at the resurrection, at the empty tomb, people running all over the place, right? There's all kinds of foot races going on. But guys didn't run. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he's about to pass that way. So Zacchaeus is like, fine, I'll shimmy on up this tree, which would be a little embarrassing, right? That would be more embarrassing than putting on a plastic orange helmet and a seatbelt with no car. That I think, you know, imagine someone in authority, someone that owns an NFL team, someone that's the mayor, the governor, whatever, and they're trying to see the parade, they're trying to see what's going on, and they can't, so they're going to climb up a tree. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down. I'm going to stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down, and he received him joyfully. Now, I don't know if you write in your Bible. I do. because I need all the reminders and helps I can get. Next to verse 5, I wrote the word grace. Next to verse 6, I wrote the word faith. Jesus shows him grace by saying, come on down. I'm going to stay at your house today. Faith is Zacchaeus comes on down that tree and received him joyfully. And they lived happily ever after. Everybody got home safe that day. Nope. And when they saw it, there's always a they. I love it when people say, I don't love it, but when people say, they say this, or there's people doing, you know, there's always this great, you know, anonymous group that's in the corner and they're having a problem with something. You know, they are saying, well, tell me who they are. Well, no, suddenly we don't have any names. Well, here's another thing. They saw it. There's a bunch of people that see Jesus, bring Zacchaeus down, say, come on down, I'm going to your house, and they all grumbled. That's what they do. They always end up grumbling. There's never a they, pastors can affirm this, there's never a they that are saying, you are doing a wonderful job. Hey, pastor, I just want to tell you, there's a whole bunch of people, and they've been coming to me and telling me, you're fantastic. Nope, it's always grumbling. They grumbled that he had gone to be the guest of a man who was a sinner. Well, brother, let me tell you, that is my house. Jesus came to my house. He came to the house of a man who is a sinner. And according to Romans 3:23, that's you as well. And he's come to at our house. He's going to stay there. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. That's a big deal back then. All right, we're sons of Abraham. They said, we've never been slaves to anybody. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Let's unpack this. Now, we got a really rich guy, realizes he got a bit of a predicament. I want to see Jesus. They're not going to let me through. He gets up a tree. Jesus says, come on down. I'm going to stay at your house. So he comes on down. People get upset. You can just hear the murmuring, right? He comes to his house. Zacchaeus says, this is different. Boy, if I've defrauded anybody, and the list is long, I will restore it fourfold. Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. Let's unpack that. Is Zacchaeus still in authority? It's a yes and no answer. He is. Zacchaeus is in authority of his own home. But Jesus is in authority of his life. So you say, I'm responsible for, you know, that team at work, and I'm responsible for, first and foremost, you are responsible for the condition of your heart. Okay? So salvation has to begin with you repenting of your sins, turning to Jesus. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. Lord, the authority of my life, the Savior, saving me from the consequences of my sins. So that's that. You got that. The next thing you are responsible for before you ever park your car or get a direct deposit or a key card that lets you in the building is your address. We have to fight for the hearts of the people in our address. No question about it. Zacchaeus comes home. They may not be thrilled Zacchaeus showed back up. You know who you are. There's been plenty of days I've walked in the house and there were not, you know, a bunch of balloons and confetti going off. Dad has made it back. They're like, oh, great, he's here again. Because we're not always great to be around. So he comes back. Salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus says, we're going to do some things different in this house. I imagine there's some people in the home going, oh, brother, what now? What are we doing? But if salvation has come to your home, it should impact everybody in your home. Now, we are still given free will. We're not robots. That doesn't mean everybody's going to turn immediately and surrender to Jesus and start singing, I surrender all. That may not happen. But you are the authority for your house. But Jesus is the authority of your life. So when I live as the authority of my house, I live under the authority of Jesus. He is the great shepherd. He's the Lord. He's my Savior. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding on my behalf and your behalf right now as I record this, as you listen to this. He's the ultimate authority. If we live under the authority of Scripture. So we lift Scripture up and we say, this matters more than what I feel. This matters more than what I think. This matters more than my tradition. This matters more than, you know, what so-and-so said. This matters more than whatever logo is attached to me or whatever. I live under the authority of Scripture. If Scripture says it, then it's true, and it doesn't matter what I think, feel, or someone else told me. Scripture is my ultimate authority. You live under the authority of Scripture, you're going to run up on a lot of people who are going to call themselves believers, Christians, followers of Jesus, who are not doing the same thing. And you're going to immediately realize, this is why we have our problems. I live under the authority of Scripture. Now, when you live under the authority of Scripture, you don't get to play the card, well, this is how I interpret this text. No, the text is the text. The text is what it is. When Luke writes this, he writes this with the intent that old Theophilus and everybody else is going to read this and they're going to understand the amazing, powerful work of Jesus. Well, I think what you can get from it, maybe you can. You can get some things from this and you can apply things and the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you. We call this available light. There's times I'll read the same text, maybe for multiple days on end, or maybe once a year or whatever. And I'll tell you what, it's like I never read it before because I'm in a different place character-wise, spiritually-wise, sanctified-wise than I was the year before. But that doesn't change the truth of Scripture. So I live under the authority of Scripture, under the authority of King Jesus. But that doesn't mean I'm not responsible. I'm responsible for my own behaviors. I'm responsible for the people that live in my house. I'm responsible for the people in my sphere of influence. I'm responsible for my time, my money, my effort, the resources I have been given. I'm responsible for that. But ultimately, at the end of it all, God, it's yours. What do you want to do with it? The great struggle for man. Giving it over to the Lord and saying, all right, it's yours. What do you wish to do with this? For Zacchaeus, when he ran up on Jesus, he finally got to encounter him. Salvation came to his house because he was, as Jesus said, he needed to be found. He was lost, needed to be saved. Maybe that's you. Maybe today is your day of salvation. Nevertheless, I want you to consider, am I living under the authority of King Jesus? Under the authority of his word, and am I being responsible with what he's given me? Amen. Think about it, men. Let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.